Hey gang, it's Kieran from Previously in Europe here. Sorry for the week off there. Things have been pretty hectic in Europe. Yeah, geez. So you've probably read the news. Coronavirus. Woo! Anyway, I'm coming to you from Berlin, where we're getting ready for a lockdown. Yeah, probably going into lockdown. There was a speech from Merkel. Basically, all businesses are probably closing, except for like supermarkets, pharmacies, postal services. Anyway, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. This is basically going to be a makeup for the last episode. For anyone who wasn't listening to the last episode, we kind of released a bonus episode to the main feed because we did have a episode where me and Hugh, before Hugh went off on holidays, talked about the Azerbaijani parliamentary election and the Slovakian parliamentary election, which I'm going to recap a little bit for you now. But yeah, also prepare maybe for more delays in episodes because, as I mentioned, Hugh went on holidays. Yep. Hugh is currently on the other side of the world, and I hope he can come back soon. There might be delays to that. There might be some chaos. From what I understand, he has every right to come back to where he lives. But, still. Anyway, let's get through these two elections in the No Elections Left Behind mini episode where it Kieran by himself. All right. First things first is the 2020 Azerbaijani parliamentary election. This is an election held on the 9th of February, 2020. It was originally scheduled to take place in November this year, but it was brought forward because the parliament was dissolved in December 2019. Sorry. Opposition parties accused President Ilham Aliyev, the prime minister, of limiting their ability to campaign and called for a boycott of this election. That didn't work. Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, this is a parliamentary system with a kind of first past the post. Single member constituencies, 125 of those, so there's 125 seats up for grabs. You need 63 for a majority. The New Azerbaijan Party got that handily. They won 72 out of the 125 seats. That's three up from last time. With the next biggest party, being Civic Solidarity Party, only got three seats. That's up one from last time. A handful of other parties got one seat each, but this is some of those things where we see in a couple of other ex-Soviet republics, ex-USSR republics. There's also a huge contingency of independents. The next biggest party, if you were to call them one party, is the independents, which got 43 seats. Just over half of what New Azerbaijan has. And some of them are loyal to New Azerbaijan, some are not. And a lot of the other parties, quote unquote, that are within this parliament are only have one seat. So they're effectively kind of independents with some, branding, essentially. This is very reminiscent to anyone who remembers our discussion of Belarus. It's a very similar situation where we have this kind of like one dominant party run by pronouncing this wrong probably, Ilham Aliyev. I'm going to say that's correct. Yeah, he's kind of dominant there, and the rest are various people who are loyal, various people who are not loyal, but the opposition is largely toothless. So yeah, that's what happened. Not much there. A lot of people contested. There was like 1,314 potential candidates, and 1,057 of those ran as independents. Yeah. So yeah, that's basically what happened there. Nothing changed effectively. Some tweaking of the numbers, but yeah. Still kind of effectively a one-party state in Azerbaijan, run by Ilham Aliyev. But coronavirus. Maybe Azerbaijan's gone tomorrow. Who can tell? Anyway, the next and probably more interesting thing is the Slovak parliamentary elections. So let me just run through some of the facts. And that is that this was an election to elect the 150 seats of the National Council of Slovakia on the 29th of February 2020. Sorry for the delay, gang. The world's falling apart. Anyway. The ruling coalition before this was Smer. We've talked pretty poorly of Smer in the past on this podcast. They are woefully corrupt. Centre-left, nominally, for sure. And but they also worked with Social Democracy, which is another kind of... Oh, no, sorry, that's... sorry. Smer Social Democracy is their full name. Apologies. The other coalition partner... other coalition partners were the Slovak National Party, which was a nationalist party within Slovakia. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they belong to the ID European grouping. No, they don't. Sorry. They belong to the Movement for Europe of Liberties and Democracy. Oh, that coalition, that affiliation no longer exists. Right. They're currently unaffiliated on the... yeah, they're currently unaffiliated on the European level. But, yeah, Slovak nationalism, national conservatism, that's their kind of vibe. But they also worked with Most Hid. It was an inter-ethnic political party. It kind of operated on the ALDE space, if I remember correctly. They did quite well. People thought they were going to do quite well in this election. But, months and months ago, they currently have... I believe they're the president of Slovakia, which is a largely ceremonial role, is from this party. Sorry, I'm mistaken. But yeah, they are, Most Hit is an EPP affiliated member. But that was the coalition beforehand, but it was suffered. It was defeated in this election by the Anti-Corruption Ordinary People Party, led by Igor Matovič, and it's worth pointing out that every party in this election kind of ran in an anti-corruption kind of position, but these are the ones who won out. The reason that happened is because this is coming from the background of the murdered investigative journalist by the who was investigating mafia connections to the government, which didn't look particularly good on behalf of the ruling parties. So that's kind of the background of this election a little bit. Also, we're pointing out that the leader of Smer, Robert Fico, had resigned. Resigned in 2018. And a new leader who was kind of unelected, Peter Pellegrini, came in. So this was kind of a test to see whether Peter Pellegrini kind of saved the party. He didn't. Anyway. So. Here are the actual results. Igor Matovovic's Olano party, the Party of Ordinary People, got 19 seats in the last election. This election they got 53. That's a change of 34 and an increase of 14 percentage points. Then you have Peter Pellegrini's Smer, Social Democracy Party. They're affiliated with the EPP. The SND. They got 49 seats last election. They lost 38 for a whopping 11. Then you have Boris Kolar's We Are Family, which is the right-wing populist party of Slovakia. Man knows there's a lot of right-wing parties. Anyway, they got 11 seats last election. They got 17 this election, up 6. Then we have... Oh, God. People's Party R Slovakia, formerly known as Kotleba People's Party R Slovakia, and kind of now known as the Kotlebists People's Party of Slovakia. This is described as a far-right neo-Nazi political party in Slovakia. This is run by a one Marian Kotleba, where Kotlebist comes from. Yeah, you can Google some pictures of them basically cosplaying as Nazis, but instead of the swastika, they have that, like, two-armed cross thing that's on the Slovakian flag. It's a whole thing. Anyway, they won 17 seats. This election. They increased their seat count by 3. polling kind of made them look like they were going to do a lot better than that, which was concerning, but still, it's not great. This is a... what? Joint second largest party? Ah! Fun. Then you also have Richard Sulik of the SAS, Freedom and Solidarity Party. Eurosceptic Party, I think they are associated with the ECR. They got 13 seats, down 8 from their last election. And then we also have Andre Kiska of For the People, the kind of ALDE party. They're new, and they got 12 this time around. Yeah, it's worth pointing out that Slovakia's electoral system has a 5% threshold for single parties and a 7% threshold for coalition partners. When we recorded this episode originally with Hugh, he said a bunch of smart shit about how this kind of excluded some parties that actually did quite well. A good example of this was Progressive Slovakia hyphen Sapolu. This is the merging of two parties. Sapolu is Together, or Civic Democracy. They're kind of like a liberal centrist party. And then Progressive Slovakia is also kind of a centrist party. One is social liberal, one is conservative liberal. It's very slight degrees of different centrism. But they got 6.9, their coalition, pre-made coalition in the electoral system of Slovakia, and they got 6.96% of the vote, not making the threshold by 0.04%. Oof. It's worth pointing out that this is kind of weird. They got like substantially more votes than some parties that did get in, like Freedom and Solidarity and For the People. So yeah, it's kind of a weird system. Our general take on this was that the thresholds are probably a little too high within Slovakia, 7% and 5%. There was also the Olano people was a four-way pre-made coalition. Now, they handily made it above the threshold for voting, but it's, I don't know, it feels kind of, for me, it felt weird that like there wasn't like a compounding system, that it's just, if you're a coalition, it's 7%, and if you're not a coalition, it's 5%, rather than, well, can the percentage threshold maybe increase the larger you make your coalition? Like, if it's a four-way coalition, maybe this is a bit ridiculous. I don't know. Anyway, that's basically the Slovakian election in a nutshell. Oof. Yeah, so that's basically what we have going on here. Sorry we don't really get much of the analysis, but yeah, there you go. This is a interesting election, how the coalition shapes out. It's kind of left it, the numbers kind of left it so that there wasn't really any options directly for who would be leader. No one got like an outright majority, but Olano definitely got handily the most seats, and with 35.33% of the seats available, it's a good 10% above their next biggest party, which is Smer SD. Smer SD have probably been completely reduced down to the absolute base of the party, the people who will vote for them no matter what. So, yeah, that's probably the best they can hope for. Anyway, the president had assigned on the 4th of March Matovic to actually, you know, be in charge of making a government because, yeah, he got the most votes. He's the biggest party. Makes sense. On the 13th of March, Matovic announced he had reached an agreement for a governing coalition with We Are Family and Freedom and Solidarity and For the People. That they had not agreed on a common governing program just yet. He has disclosed his picks for the new cabinet, which is due to President Kapitova on the 14th of March. So he should have given that in by now, I guess. Anyway. The things they did state that Olano would hold on to finance ministry, and Richard Sulik, the leader of Freedom and Solidarity, would be economy minister. So, yeah. We Are Family, Freedom and Solidarity, and For the People. If I remember correctly, this is the kind of coalition me and Hugh predicted. basically, there's only six parties in the Slovak parliament now, and Olana gets first pick, and the only feasible coalition is to work with every party that isn't Smer, who have got an absolutely garbage reputation going into this election due to the corruption, and the Kotlebists, who are neo-Nazis. So, limited your options a little bit. So it made sense to make this kind of anti-Smer, anti-Kotlebist grand coalition of Olano and the three other parties that are in the parliament, giving them pretty handy majority, I think. It's quite close. Hang on, am I doing my maths correctly? Yeah, actually, I don't even think that's a majority. Hang on. Oh, no, sorry. It's a very handy majority. I apologize. I'm not very good at math. Anyway, that's what's happened in Slovakia. Our general feedback for Slovakia is Smer needs to really fucking sort its shit out. Become a party that actually advocates for left-wing stuff. Try to decouple yourself from the gross corruption. It's way easier said than done, but we'll see how it turns out. Anyway, hopefully we'll be back to a regular episode soon. I'm assuming we're probably going to do one on COVID-19 and the various effects it's had on everything. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bring us back our Hugh.